At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Late Night LOI Pod, live every Friday at 10 p.m. on Twitter Spaces. Follow at Off the Ball.
All right, you're very welcome along to League of Ireland Late Night. Jamie McGonigal, it's only the second weekend of the season, but he has blown the title race wide open. Last minute at the Brandywell. Derry City have beaten the champions Shamrock Rovers by 2-1. There's any amount of talking points from tonight in the League of Ireland. And here on League of Ireland Late Night, we want you to get involved. It's Nathan Murphy with you. Johnny Ward should be alongside me. Can you hear me, Johnny?
Hi, Nathan.
So, where the hell will we start? Well, we'll start by explaining this for anybody who's just, you know, getting on board with us. This is our third Friday night. People are learning about Twitter Spaces. This is, as I keep saying, your old-style football phone-in. It's not just about me and Johnny shooting the breeze. We want you, the listeners, if you are at a game, if you are watching a game, we want you to get yourself involved in this. Come on, just click the button on the left-hand, bottom left-hand corner of your phone. That'll tell us you want to come on, give your opinion. Keep it clean. Have your real name there. That's our only rule in all of this, is that you have your real name there so that we can try and keep this as above board as possible. But we're not too bothered about keeping it too above board. You can also use the hashtag LOI Late Night if you can't come on live. You can also get your questions in or your thoughts in, and we'll get to some of them over the course of the next hour or so. But it has been a heck of a night in the League of Ireland. So many different storylines from that victory, with pretty much the last kick of the game in the Brandywell from Jamie McGonigal to beat Shamrock Rovers 2-1. Duffer has his first win, a 2-0 victory for Shelburne up in Drogheda. Scoreless draw between UCD and Finn Harps. Sligo, big win for them in their first game of the season away at St. Patrick's Athletic. And a 4-goal thriller at Dalymount between Bohemians and Dundalk, finished in a 2-2 draw. Waterford, a 1-0 win over Bray in the First Division. There was a 3-2 win for Wexford against Cove. And this podcast, this show, Johnny, the one thing we're going to be is totally unbiased, except, of course, when it comes to Galway United, who started their season with a 1-0 victory against Cork City. Hold your horses on that, Johnny. We'll come to that. But the first question is, what bus are you on, Johnny?
I didn't even get any public transport today, Nathan. I was supposed to be in Turner's Cross. Off the Ball's racing show was delayed. So Friday night racing was delayed. I basically missed the 4 o'clock train. So I sat at home watching the stream. And it made me think as well of people, the people who were giving out about, like, you know, that they couldn't get a season pass, they couldn't get this, they couldn't get that. You can watch any game in the League of Ireland for €5 or €7. And tonight I was able to watch brilliant coverage from Turner's Cross. The atmosphere of 5,000 people, really well conveyed. Great win for Galway United. Sets up Waterford next week. And it's going to be a hell of a First Division. I'm sure there's a big crowd in Waterford. It's going to be a massive crowd in Galway next week as well.
There's always a public transport story with you. It was good news for Dublin Bus last Friday night. Bad news for Irish Rail, who just wouldn't wait for Johnny Ward to get him down to Cork. We'll come to the First Division, but really, the match that most people would have been watching if they were stuck at home tonight was live on RTE, and it was Derry City beating Shamrock Rovers by 2-1. Will Patching had put Derry in front 10 minutes into the second half after Jack Byrne had fouled in the penalty box. The strength of that Shamrock Rovers bench again coming to the fore. Dylan Watts comes on, equalizes 17 minutes to go. You feel a 1-1 draw, a nice result for both sides. But then Jamie McGonigal, a bad mistake at the back by Pico Lopez, slipping at just the wrong time. But the finish from McGonigal, left-footed, top corner, nothing Alan Manis can do about it. And while it is just the second week of the season, Johnny, as a neutral in all this, it's exactly the result everyone wanted.
Totally, Nathan. It was like, you see Pico Lopez, the last time he's playing, last time we've seen him play was taking on, you know, one of the best strikers in the world in the African Nations Cup, acquitting himself really well. Didn't matter a jot tonight, makes a really bad mistake. 95th minute, Jamie McGonigal, who was absolutely superb in the dock last week, wraps it up. And you're kind of thinking in that second half, you know, Derry have played really well against Shamrock Rovers since Rory Higgins took over. But Rovers have really kind of poured on the pressure in the second half of some of these games, particularly in Tala last season. Looked like they might nick a 2-1. It was a fairly even game. What a result for the title race. And you add that in, Nathan, to the fact that Shelburne lost last week, won this week. Pats were very impressive last week, lost at home to Sligo. I think the condensed like 10-team Premier this season is going to and it's rising results week in, week out. But Shamrock Rovers, as much as they had a big squad, some of their kind of marquee players were disappointing, I thought, tonight. Jack Byrne booked and gave away a penalty, came into the game in the second half. But, you know, then a really, really poor mistake by Lopez, and McGonagall could be a star this season.
All right, Shane Keegan is going to join us as well in just a few minutes. You never really know where the League of Ireland late night hosts are going to pop up. I think Shane is down at a wedding somewhere, but he's so dedicated to the cause, he is going to join us. But as I say, if you want to join, if you want to get on live with us, just click the button down the bottom left-hand corner. That'll tell us that you have requested and you want and have something to say. And let's go to our first caller of the night in League of Ireland late night. Sam White, can you hear
us?
Hello,
lads.
You're welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. What were you watching tonight? What are you excited about?
Well, I know Derry will grab the headlines, and rightly so, amazing finish to the game there. But I'm a massive Sligo Rovers fan. I'm out here in the south of France, and delighted to see the lads get off to a brilliant start in Richmond Park. And you could say that we're disappointed that we actually conceded a goal at the end there, because they controlled the game, it seems, very well. And if people haven't seen it, the first goal by Colm Horgan and the cross in from McDonald is well worth watching. Absolutely brilliant vision from McDonald to pick him out. The commentator was even like amazed by the cross and the quality shown by the midfield. He's going to be a big player for Sligo Rovers this season, McDonald. And I don't know what people maybe didn't know what to expect tonight from Sligo Rovers against the Pats team that have already had two competitive games under their belts. But great start to the season. So really delighted with that. But yeah, the league is already very exciting and we're only 2 weeks in.
I want to picture the scene, Sam, because as we go through the season, I want to know what far-flung parts of the world people are in. But I'm imagining you have the feet up, you're in Provence, there's a glass of wine, there's League of Ireland on the laptop. Is it as beautiful as it sounds?
Yeah, you can say that. No, I'm digging into a cup of Lions tea delivered to me from my wonderful mother in Sligo. So a quiet enough Friday night, but the football's on and that's the main thing. But yeah, about 30 minutes north of Marseille, so there's not much rain over here, let's just say that.
Talk to us about the game then, because this was Sligo's first match of the season after last week was called off. And we touched on it last Friday night that Sligo and Bowes were maybe two of the sides that during the summer went a little bit under the radar when the excitement was building towards the start of the season. But there's so much good stuff going on off the pitch at Sligo. It's such a great footballing town to start the season away at Pats with a win. What sort of performance was it and how different was it from what you saw from Sligo last season?
As I said, people wouldn't have known what to expect. A lot of new signings, as with a lot of the teams in the League of Ireland, just the turnover of players can be difficult for players to settle into the squad. But I'd pick out the likes of Payne Acker at centre-back. He's a New Zealand international, and I think he really bossed it tonight. Really key defensive contribution at the end there. Pats were pushing at the end for an equaliser and he really delivered and got us over the line. McGinty as well, so happy that they've managed to hold on to McGinty after losing the likes of Mahon and Kenny, and he pulled off a few big saves at the end. And yeah, the recruitment's been really good. Fitzgerald looks really good. O'Sullivan, really quick players that'll get us up the pitch. And Keane got his goal tonight, and I think he really deserved it. He had a few chances in the first half, and he was unlucky not to have more than one goal. But yeah, really encouraging. A lot of really good young players coming through. Seamus Keogh was on the bench tonight. Was surprised he actually didn't start the game. So hope to see more of him. So good squad. I mean, the squad's looking really good despite the outgoings, but they've recruited really well and got some real experience, not just from the League of Ireland, but some good players overseas.
That's the point as well, Sam, because like Bucco is in this game so long, and you know, winning at Pats, whether you like it or not, would mean a lot to him. And you know, the everyone was talking about losing Mahan, losing Johnny Kenny, and they didn't even have a game last week. I expect the Pats to win tonight, I thought. And I spoke to Pats fans during the game. They said Sligo deserved to win. And you mentioned McGinty as well. I see Aaron McCary's listening. I know you've a goalie on loan up the north in Cliftonville as well. If McGinty were to move on at any stage, but like there seems to be a reasonable depth to that Sligo team.
Absolutely, yeah. And as I said, a lot of good young players. We didn't really get to see Hamilton, who has a lot of experience playing over in the MLS for Toronto. Losing Johnny Kenny is massive, but getting the experience of Keena and I guess Hamilton's a bit of an unknown quantity in the League of Ireland for sure. But lots to come from the Sligo Rovers team. I know, obviously, big win for Derry tonight. They're gonna be right up there, I'd say. If one team can push Shamrock Rovers, maybe it will be Derry City. But I'd expect Sligo Rovers to be right up there with the likes of Pats, trying to get third. Who knows beyond that? Europe's big for Sligo Rovers this season. It was really disappointing last year the way they went out. So hopefully, and have another more progression is what I think is what we all want, because we've got a very good team.
Sam, thanks a lot for joining us on League of Ireland Late Night. Let's go to Conor Lynch. Conor, I think you might also be a Sligo Rovers fan.
Yeah, I want this to be an absolute Sligo Rovers fest for the next 30 minutes or so. Conor Lynch here from the Sligo Rovers, the Bitter Red Supporters Trust podcast. I won't take up too much of your time, but I just want to say, in relation to the game this evening, I want to talk about Ed McGinty in goals, there's no doubt about it, he is by far the best goalkeeper in the league. He pulled off some incredible saves this evening to keep Rovers in the game. And also up top, Aidan Keane, new strikers come in. He's come in a little bit under the radar from Falkirk in Scotland. But his work rate tonight and his hold up of the ball was just excellent. And it's something that we've been missing for the last number of seasons. And the other thing just to say is, I think Sligo Rovers fans were kind of unsure of what to expect this evening. And on our own podcast, the lads were saying that they expected Leah Buckley's team to kind of sit in for the first half, when actually we did the opposite. We went after Pats for the first half and began to sit back then for the second half. So it was great to see the positive attitude that the team had. And obviously a lot happened in between the goalkeeper and our new number 9, but they were just excellent tonight. They were brilliant.
Shane Keegan is with us from somewhere, no doubt, in the Midlands. He's been at a wedding. He's been tucking into the free wine. Is Ed McGinty the best goalkeeper in the League of Ireland?
Nathan, I don't even think I'm talking in hindsight. I think I said it last week. Ed McGinty, when Dundalk were what they were last season, I know they've dropped a bit this season, obviously, but last season, they were on the lookout for a goalkeeper. They start looking all over feckin' Europe for goalkeepers. It was so blatantly obvious that Ed McGinty was the keeper they needed to move for, Nathan. He's outstanding. He's absolutely a superb goalkeeper. He really, really, really is.
How far can he go, then?
Oh, listen, Johnny, I think there's no stopping to him, because from all accounts, from everything I've heard over in that direction, he ticks every box. The attitude is right. The application is right. His ability is absolutely unquestionable. I think this might be the last season we see him in the League of Ireland, unfortunately, for the next couple of seasons. I think he's absolutely outstanding. And in fairness, the Sligo are producing a keeper after keeper over there at the moment. They really, really are. I had Leo Tierney as my goalkeeping coach at Galway United, and I had him. He moved up to Sligo then. I'm not even 100% sure if he's still there, but they I know
he's still there, yeah.
Yeah, I know the next young fella down there. What's his name? McNichol.
Luke McNichol is with Cliftonville at the moment.
Luke McNichol, I know he's.
And Connor Walsh is the other keeper, who's an international under 19, and he's with the club from Mayo.
Listen, it seems to be a non-stop conveyor belt of talented keepers coming from there. So whatever they're doing very, very right. But Ed is. I don't know how far he can go, but I'd be tipping him to go very, very far at the minute, Nathan.
Conor, it's hard to believe it's a decade since Sligo won the League of Ireland. I think I've seen it's the first time since 2014 Sligo won their first match of the season. What is what's a reasonable expectation?
I think look, we have another tough game on Monday night, and they're coming thick and fast at this stage, at such an early stage of the season. But I think, under Liam Buckley, we have built year on year. And why not go second this year? I think it might be a bit of a stretch to win the thing, but why can't we go second this year? And look, I think what he has done, in fairness to Liam Buckley, he's brought in a lot of players over the last number of weeks, maybe kind of late in the day. But if they can meet the standard that's required, and Keane has shown it this evening that he has everything that's required, there's no reason that we'll be there and thereabouts. And we also have, the last thing I say is, for the first time in a long time, we have like a 22 or 3 man squad. We've got two players for every position, which we couldn't say we've had with confidence for the last number of seasons. So look, we did third last season. Why not second this year?
All right, nothing like that. Well, as it is for Sligo, opening night confidence and to get you through the few winter months that we have left. But Conor, thanks a lot for joining us. It's been Sligo Rovers overload at the start of the show on League of Ireland late night. Shamrock Rovers fans, if you're just getting in the car in the Brandywell and you've got yourself a long, long trip home, let us shorten it. Come on, tell us what you think, because we've spoken a lot about Shamrock Rovers, understandably, as champions after the President's Cup, and Stephen Bradley tore into his players after that. Yes, a 3-0 win against UCD last week, but very open at times in that first 20 minutes. And then beaten tonight with a last-minute sensational strike from McGonagall. So if there's any Shamrock Rovers fans, give us a shout and we will get you on. But let's go to Roddy Murphy. Good evening, Roddy. You're still muted there, Roddy, I think, if you want to unmute yourself. All right, not quite happening for Roddy at the moment. What we will do is go to Stig UCD, which isn't your real name, Stig UCD, but I'm presuming you're a UCD
correct
fan.
My name is Ian Heaton, and UCD fan. So I was at Talla last week and over in Belfield tonight.
So scoreless draw tonight against Finn Harps, first point of the season. Every point is going to count for UCD. I was saying that, like, first 20 minutes they were excellent. Take your chances against Rovers. You know, you could have the shock of the season on the first night of the season.
Exactly. But there's certainly signs of encouragement. I mean, like, we're going to be in the bottom, you know, handful. I don't think there's any question about that. But certainly signs of life. It was a good game, actually. It was a good game this evening. We felt that we had a couple of penalty shouts in the second half that on another night we might have got them. But the one thing that struck me, because we've been in the first division now for the last three seasons, there's a visible, like, there's a huge uplift in terms of the speed and the pace at which everything happens. And everyone is bigger, everyone is quicker. And I know obviously the Premier Division is going to be bigger and quicker than Division 1, but it is notable. So our two guys up front, Whelan and Kerrigan, like, they made a couple of runs tonight that were snuffed out, and you just know that last year they would have been in the clear, and we would have, you know, would have been almost an automatic goal for those two. The other really positive note for us is that there's a couple of kids coming through. There's a lad playing centre half, Eric Yarrow, really looks a player.
He's only 17, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only a kid. Yeah. And there's a number of the guys are playing in the Collingwood Cup, the Collingwood Cup final, which is the university's competition. The Collingwood Cup final is 10 days' time, I think, 2 weeks' time. And, like, there's still a handful of kids there. So, but it's certainly very encouraging. But, I mean, as you said at the start, like, the reality being reality, there's going to be, we're going to be in the bottom couple. It's just a question of can we avoid the drop?
Shane Keegan is the main man in the Colin Whelan fan club. Questions as to how long he will be at UCD, like any of these good, young, exciting UCD players. He scored a rake of goals last season in the first division. UCD still waiting for the first goal this time round. What sort of impact from the first couple of games do you think he's going to have?
Well, So that was directed to Shane or myself. Certainly, and again, this stands to reason. He's not getting the same time and space that he got last year. Of course, in Division One, you're going to get time and space. He's not getting that same time and space. His second half tonight was really good. Got on the ball, came a little bit deeper. Interplay with Kerrigan was terrific. An encouraging start. I mean, we've had these. We're a bit of a yo-yo club, obviously, and we've had this situation before where we've come up and played two or three games, and you know immediately that we're going to be struggling. I'm certainly feeling a little bit more confident now after these two first games than more confident than I've been in other seasons.
You say more confident after tonight's result, but was tonight not a game that? Like, if you're planning on staying up, that's one that I would have been looking at and saying, yeah, I know it's very, very early in the season, but I would have been thinking that's maybe one that you needed to be trying to get the 6 points out of. I was really, really hoping you would manage to get the 6 points out tonight if you were trying to stay up. Like, there's not going to be all that many opportunities for you to take the 3 points or 6 points if you're talking about teams down around your area, and just a little bit worrying that maybe you couldn't get one over them tonight, no?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think we had a real clear chance in the first half. And Harps had a couple, I think. We're probably a shade fortunate to be level at halftime. Second half, we had two really good chances. And as I say, on another night, you don't have a pop at the ref, but on another night, one of those in the second half, kind of on another night, might have been a pen. But then, Harps had a chance at the other end. You're right, though. If staying up is going to be realistic, this is the kind of game that you want to be getting three rather than 1 point. But the two performances have been good. So that's really encouraging.
Ian, what's the crack with being a UCD fan when you're making trips up to Derry? What sort of travelling support will you bring with you?
Both of us. No, a lot of the guys on the call, I'm sure, will know Stephen Joyce, who flies the flag to virtually every game. So Stephen's regularly by himself at away games. It's not bad. I mean, like the obviously we had a decent support in the playoffs. But if we're being honest, a lot of it is players' families, and of course, then that's transitory when the players move on. So there's a small core group, but the small core group of us have been going now for 25 or 30 years. So like we're core, but there's not that many of us.
Nathan, I went back to UCD in 2018 or 19, I think it was, to do a master's in sports coaching and science, and I went to a couple of games at the time, and I have to say all six of the hardcore UCD fans, they were well into it now. I'll give it to them that.
Would you go along with Ian saying, Shane, Johnny, that, you know, bottom two, three, and just somehow hope and pray that they survive?
Yeah, well, I think tonight's encouraging, Shane, because they kept clean sheets. UCD conceded more goals, I think, than for the five of the other teams in the first division last season. And that kid that was mentioned at the back, he seems to be very promising. I didn't know what to expect in that game tonight, but I didn't expect UCD to keep clean sheets. And the interest as well, there were two games I was very much expecting goals in tonight, Nathan, if James Rogers will come on in due course, because he was at Daly Mount. I don't know if you saw the team. I've never seen a more attacking sort of team than the one Bowes played tonight. Apart from the defenders, they had no defensive philosophy whatsoever. So I'm fascinated how that went, apart from it being a very entertaining four-goal thriller.
All right, we get on to James in a minute. You are listening to League of Ireland Late Night. It's Nathan Murphy, Johnny Ward and Shane Keegan with you. If you want to get involved, if you want to talk, just click on the button down the bottom left-hand corner. We want to hear from supporters of every club, if possible. It'd be great to get some Shamrock Rovers fans on as well, in particular after that defeat tonight. Or some jubilant Derry fans, because that's a huge win after the draw last week as well down in Dundalk to follow it up. But we're going to go to rather more concerning matters and talk to Keith Ryan, who is a Bray Wanderers fan. Bray, beaten 6-0 at home last week by Cork City, a 1-0 defeat against Waterford tonight, and all the controversy about the merger as well, Keith. Not particularly happy times to be a Bray fan.
How's it going, guys? Yeah, I have Neil Cal here as well with me on the way home. Despite last week's game, 6-0, obviously a bit of a drubbing, 4 goals in 6 minutes. And tonight, let's be honest, wasn't any better. look, Pat Devlin has come in and the football they're playing is absolutely atrocious, to be honest with you, Nathan. I don't see any improvement on last year. We've lost a lot of players, particularly Longford Town. And it's very worrying times. We're rock bottom now. 7 goals conceded, and it doesn't improve any more.
Keith, what's going wrong there? Like on paper, you still look reasonably strong. Like Conor Clifford, my, you know, holy God, that should be a very, very strong first division player. Dean Zambra, the level of experience is you know, unquestionable. Rob Manley had a fantastic season recently. What's not quite clicking there? Because on paper, you should be better than results suggest at the moment.
Yeah, but look, Shane, everything always looks good on paper. Johnny will allude to this. The side that beat Galway in the playoff last season has absolutely been decimated. From Brian Maher, who's gone to Derry City, obviously we wouldn't have held on to him anyway. Brandon Kavanagh is gone to Derry City as well. Again, wouldn't have hung on to him. Ryan Graydon has gone to Longford. Darren Craven has gone to Longford. Dylan Burnett, our best player probably from the last 3 years, has gone to Longford as well. So we haven't held on to the nucleus of a good squad that we had over the last 3 seasons. And despite, as you say, Clifford staying, I'll be honest, I say Connor's kicking his boots out of the dressing room, because he was one of the first to sign for us this season. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he was expecting probably better players to come in, but let's be honest, the majority of that team that has played the last 2 games were from Camantini last season.
Is that what it feels like, Keith? Does it feel like the club that you supported, or does it feel like almost an imposter now because it's the Camantini coaches and it's basically the Camantini players playing the Carlisle grounds?
And Neil beside me will agree with me here. It didn't feel right last week. It just, the atmosphere didn't feel right. You just didn't get a sense that it's your club anymore. And I say we quite a lot about Bray, but I don't really like saying that anymore, because they don't feel it's their club. You have Eddie Gormley and Pat Devlin who I mean, Pat done great stuff for us in the 90s. But you look at the other managers in the league now, the likes of Gary Cronin, Tommy Barrett, Ian Ryan at Wexford, Darren Murphy at Cove, they're all under 50 years of age, some in their mid-40s. Pat Devlin, let's be fair, he's how old now? In his mid-60s. Football has gone beyond Pat Devlin, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it's shown on the pitch.
So, Keith, can I be blunt and ask you then, like, this amalgamation then, should in your opinion, should Keith, or sorry, should Gary be the captain, or should Gary be the manager of this side, really, in your opinion?
Gary Cronin?
Yeah.
I thought Gary played all right football last season. The year before last, he got us within a hair's breadth of the title. He was so unlucky. Gary Shaw got injured late on in the season. Darryl Lynch got injured late on in the season. And unfortunately, we lost the playoffs. And I think it all panned down to that. We lost them late on in the season. Last season, obviously, we got to the playoffs and UCD played us off the park in the playoff final. But I would have retained Gary. A lot of people don't agree with me, and a lot of my friends don't agree with me, but I would have retained Gary as a coach. I thought he played okay football.
I'm amazed by that, Keith. I'm in your corner 100% here. I'm not saying that necessarily means that Devo goes. I think there's a role for Devo at the club. I think you just find the right role for Devo at the club. But I think getting rid of Gary is madness. See, like he's a superb bit of stuff, Johnny.
It was a takeover though, Shane, in effect. Like, so it was Cavantilli's takeover. Like, why did Oscar Rinnan only last week? That question needs to be asked. Like, are the lads too old school for the job at this stage? But I guess there was no prospect of him staying on, because this isn't really a merger if you ask any Bray fans, like, and you'll see this on the pitch, and it's Cavantilli in different jerseys, like.
Yeah, but I don't care who's taking over who, Gary or Johnny. You just make common sense decisions based on who's affiliated with either or club at the moment, who are the ones who can take the club forward. As I say, I'm not writing off Devo by any respect. I'm not writing off Devo. I'm just saying it's madness for a fella of Gary's ability. He's done a fantastic job 2 seasons in a row. For him just to be cast aside is madness. I get where you're coming from, but surely there's a way to amalgamate both of those fellas into the club without casting either or aside. Like,
Keith, what sort of impact has it had on the fan base? We're only 2 weeks into the season, so there's only been one home match. But in terms of what effect it'll have in attendances over the next few weeks, the travelling support, it feels as though it's very deflated already.
There was fans last week at the game. Now, I say fans very loosely. I had never seen most of them before in my life at a game, and they were singing. You could hear them singing about the merger and shove it up there. You know what? And as Johnny said, it's definitely a takeover. There's no two ways about it. Cavan Teely have purchased Bray Wanderers. Which is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable for a smaller club in terms of League of Ireland stature to take over a club with the history that Bray Wanderers have. And I feel attendances won't improve. Niall Driscoll, who was their chairman the last 3 years, had brought the fans back in. The vibe was good around the ground. And now, and I speak personally, last week I just did not get the feel for it, and I just got a really, really eerie feel around the ground. It's not good. It's absolutely not good.
All right, Keith, thanks a million for joining us. Keith Ryan there, Bray Wanderers fan, very concerned after back-to-back defeats to start the season. You're listening to League of Ireland Late Night. If you're just joining us and you're still not sure what's happening, we're here on Twitter Spaces every single Friday night from 10 o'clock, looking back on the night's League of Ireland, and we want your calls as well. We want you to come on air, tell us what your thoughts are, or if you can't come on air, you can always use the hashtag LOI Late Night, and we'll get some of them on. We're building up to the big moment when we're going to give Johnny Ward 60 seconds to just talk Galway United and salivate in their performance against Cork City, but we're going to hold off on that because it's time for our Celebrity Caller of the Week. Last week it was Paul O'Gammond. This week we are joined by former Republic of Ireland international Jonathan Douglas, who's been lurking in the background, but he's lurking no more because we're forcing to come on air. How are you keeping, Jonathan?
Very well, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
We can, loud and clear, loud and clear. It's great to have you on League of Ireland Late Night. You're doing a lot of work as an agent at the moment, so you're obviously watching a lot of League of Ireland.
I am, yeah. Last week we had Nathan Shepherd, who's obviously goalkeeper for the Dock, so I watched that game. And this week I watched UCD because we've got Evan Caffrey, so it was good to see him play as well.
Away from just the performances, which we'll get into in a minute, and what you've made of the league so far, as an agent looking at the League of Ireland and the talented young players that are there, the Brexit rules, the changes in Irish football, is our agents looking at the league in a very different way to how they were 2, 3, 4 years ago?
Yeah, I suppose it is. Everything is different now, obviously, with Brexit, as you did mention. But, especially for me, being Irish, I grew up watching the League of Ireland. I played for Monaghan United, when I was 15, 16. So I've always had an interest in it. And even now I'm an agent, so I've got a massive interest in it now. I think as you mentioned, there is a lot of quality, a lot of young boys coming through, getting the opportunity now, to progress, whether it's 16, 17, maybe a few years ago they came over to England and maybe got lost a little bit.
But Jonathan, can I ask you, if you're a regular starter in a top half of the League of Ireland Premier Division, like, to your opinion, what level does that bring you in at in England? Is it, are you, should you be challenging for a starting 11 place in the Championship, in League One, in League Two? Like, top half of the League of Ireland Premier, what does that equate to in the League of Ireland, in England, to you at the moment?
There's definitely players in Shamrock Rovers and, Derry and all that would be able to, cut their teeth in the Championship, no problem at all. And I think that the younger lads that are getting the opportunities to play in Ireland now, at, Evan's only 18, 19 years of age. So for him to be, that's his second game now this season, the Premiership. He's playing men's football, whereas if he's over here, he's probably playing, under 23s football, which, he's gaining a lot more experience by, playing for UCD against the likes of, Finn Harps this week and, Shamrock Rovers last week.
I think as well, Jonathan, if you ask, I'm kind of speculating here, but if you ask like the English Welsh lads, the likes of Patching who came over, the lads at Dundalk have now, or say the lads of Pats had last season, what did they make of the League of Ireland? Like, it's an overwhelmingly positive response in terms of quality and also kind of the way that teams play.
Definitely, yeah. I think that's just the way it is the last couple of years with the, the academies that they have now as well. Obviously, they weren't around when I was coming through. It was probably the best teams, when you were 15, 16, it was probably home farm. But now you have the under-17 league, the academy of the under-19. So young lads are getting just as good as coaching as, you know, I did when I very first came over to Blackburn.
They probably need to be a little bit more clued in, Jonathan. Like, when they in my opinion, when they're cast off, so I suppose I'm particularly thinking of somebody like Rory Hale at the moment. When, like, Rory Hale was named Premier League 2 or Under 23 Premier League, whatever you call it, he was named Player of the Month in the month before I signed him as a Galway player. And he came over here then, and Johnny will tell you, he was fantastic for Galway for a while, and then he went to Derry and Cleftonville, and he's been absolutely outstanding. I just can't wrap my head around how there's a route back in for the likes of a Rory Hale or players like this. I don't think we see enough of. They seem to get cast aside, they arrive back over here, and then there's not enough of them then who are reappearing over there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do see a point where some of them, I suppose when you speak to those lads, are probably happier coming back, whether they want to go back over again. You know, there's probably boys like, you know, Danny Mandrew, who's at Shamrock Rovers now. I think he was at Bowes, and I'm sure he had an opportunity to go to League One or, you know, or League Two, and he fancied Shamrock Rovers, you know. So some of the lads that have been over here maybe have fallen out of love with football a little bit, and go back home and, you know, enjoy it so much. They're around family and stuff, because you know, it is difficult to, you know, move away from home when you're a young lad, and I think some of them just get swallowed up and they'll get placed in their own clubs for them.
I do find it staggering, if it is true and it's been mooted, that the FAI may have lobbied FIFA in relation to the Brexit situation, because, like, you're literally you're getting an absolute gift horse here to look after our own affairs, and to suggest that you're going to just, like, I think it's an absolute scandal that we just offloaded so many kids in this country and thought it was grand, send them over. Like, it was practically the only work in the country that it was like, we were not good enough here, just go over and go to England, leave your family at 15 years of age and think that's normal.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Especially when I have my look at, I first went over to Blackburn, I was earning £42.50 a week. You know, I was a 16-17-year-old kid, like, so it wasn't all plain sailing, you know, you gotta earn where you are, and I do agree with you that I haven't heard that from the FAI, but if that's true, then you know, I wouldn't be pushing my lads that I have, you know, over here too soon, because I know how difficult it was, and, you know, they'll be maturing a lot more over there, and, you know, if they do come over when they're 20, 21, 22, hopefully they'll be over here till, you know, 32, 33, instead of, like, coming over at 16 and then moving back at 19, which helps nobody.
Jonathan, like, in my opinion, like, to me, it's a no-brainer. I've got a seven-year-old boy there, right, and he loves football, and fingers crossed he might have a bit about him, but to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. Like, and I think all of you guys as agents, I see Gary Rogers on the call as well, all of you guys as agents, like, to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. You steer them in the direction. Unfortunately, UCD is the only example that we have in the country. I think we have to create more UCDs around the country and around the League of Ireland, that a fella, you know, doesn't head off there at 16. Thankfully, he can't head off at 16 anymore, but even 18, doesn't head off at 18, that he sticks around, that he's brave, that he backs himself, like, look, I know I'm slightly biased here, but he backs himself like the likes of a Colin Whelan, who's knocked back a couple of offers in the UK over the last few years to go and finish his education, get his degree. And you hear so often that, you know, you need to have a plan B, you need to have a plan B. You don't need to have a plan B, Jonathan. You need to have a plan A. Like making it in football is your plan B. Your plan A needs to be your education. It needs to be your degree. It needs to be what you can go and make of yourself outside of football. If football happens for you, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But any young fella or any young fella's parents or family banking on them making it as a professional footballer in the UK or anything like that, like, it's absolutely madness. You need to get that education behind you, in my opinion.
Oh, you're 100%, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that we make sure we speak to the parents and speak to the young kid as well, because you speak to a young lad at 17, 18, that's the last thing he wants to hear is education, because he just wants to be a footballer, and that's his dream. But, you know, I've seen it, you know, myself, that I've went over to England at 16, and I think there's three or four of us only made it, you know, made it as a professional, so the rest of the lads are, you know, school teachers and, you know, I'm sure you know Robbie Doyle, who's doing a bit of, you know, singing and stuff like that there, and, you know, back home. So it is, I do agree with you, education is massive, and, you know, that's definitely one thing in our company that we make sure that, you know, that everything is sorted for that. Even if they do come over 18, 19, we try and get them into a university, you know, doing evening stuff just to make sure that, as you say, they do have that plan A.
Jonathan, give us your unbiased take then on UCD against Finn Harps.
I think I was listening to one of the other UCD callers come on, and I think that Finn Harps probably did edge this first half, but UCD, I think, were a lot better in the second half. And, you know, I'm gutted that Evan, he hit the crossbar. It was a decent chance for him. It just wouldn't sit down for him, I don't think. And but I think they grew into the game. And as you said, your man Colin Whelan and Kerrigan and all, is you can see that why that there's so many clubs are interested with them. And I think they'll do okay. I think the pitch wasn't really good tonight. I was speaking to one of the other young lads that I look after, and he was saying that there's been rugby on it and stuff. So it's the pitch didn't look great, but it was good game of football. Two good honest teams, and I think overall the draw was the fair result.
All right, Jonathan, thanks a lot for joining us on League of Ireland Late Night.
No problem. Thank you. Take care.
Jonathan Douglas there, a former Republic of Ireland international, 8 caps for the Republic of Ireland, now doing a lot of work around the League of Ireland. Great to have him on board. Who will it be next week, Johnny? Who will it be next week?
Who will it be? We can't turn this into like an agent show now where they just come on and flog their
players. We could charge them, couldn't we? We're handy way of making a few quid.
We need some funds coming in. But if they did, they'd be all talking about Alex Murphy, the Galway United left back, who's clearly a centre back, but set up the winning goal in Turner's Cross tonight, Nathan. John Caulfield returns Turner's Cross, massive win to Galway United. 5,000 people in Turner's Cross for a first division game. They're raving about the Brandywell, 3,300. There were 5,000 at Turner's Cross tonight. Colin Healy versus John Caulfield, and Alex played left back. He was young. Keane Murphy gave him a bit to think about in the first half, but he came through it very well, and a brilliant win for United.
We had Ronan Coleman on last Friday night, a little bit concerned looking at the results of the opening weekend. Cork and Waterford racking up big score lines, and their Galway's two first games, but with Cork having scored 6 last weekend, to keep them scoreless, clean sheet, Galway down to 10 men at one stage, like, this is a big win and a real marker laid down on the opening night.
Yeah, and you know, they're talking about like the attendance in the first division, but like, I'd like to, if there are any Waterford fans, what was the crowd in the RSC? Because I'd say there'd be 3,000 or 4,000 in Terryland next Friday, 5,000 in Cork tonight. Full-time team versus a full-time team. A lot of good young talent on display as well. 2 Spaniards starting for Galway United, who particularly Portillo at the back did well. Conor Kearns, superb in goal. And a lot of satisfaction for Buckley in Inchicore. A lot of satisfaction for John Caulfield as well, because as much as, you know, he'd probably forgotten a little bit about what happened in Corkshire, Dan McDonald brought the whole thing up by his big piece on Monday, as if he'd actually forgotten about it. So I'm sure he was reminded of that tonight as well.
We are overrun with Sligo Rovers callers on League of Ireland Late Night. They're buzzing after winning their first game of the season away at St. Patrick's Athletic, making that long trip back to Sligo. But if you're on the way back from the Brandywell, or if you're a Shells fan on the way back from Drogheda getting your first win of the season under Damien Duff, or if you are Damien Duff and you're listening and you want to come on and talk to Johnny Ward, you can do just that. Just click on the button on the bottom left-hand corner, or use the hashtag LOI Late Night. James Rogers is back with us. James, you were watching Bohemians 2, Dundalk 2. The Stephen O'Donnell revolution is not being televised so far, but it's a revolution with a lot of goals.
Yeah, cracking game tonight, and probably from Stephen's point of view, too entertaining at the moment at times, but yeah, really good game in Dalymount, brilliant atmosphere, and Stephen Bradley being cursed at Dalymount Park, but not the normal one.
Stephen Bradley so scored for Dundalk tonight. He's on loan from Hibs. Looks a player.
Yeah, 2 from 2 now, showed a sort of different quality tonight with his header for the equaliser, and probably could have won it at the end. He had a good chance, good save by James Talbot, but definitely looks someone who'd be very exciting as the league goes on.
James, how did Bowes set up? Because I think I was talking to you before the game. Wilson left back is possibly the most attacking left back in the league. They've obviously lost their 2 main centre backs from last year. Kelly wasn't playing tonight, so they'd Horton, who's come in, and Finnerty. Bealey right back, basically very attacking player. And then the top 6 players are Dawson Devoy, Ali Coote, Jordan Flores, Malin Amashair, and Twardick. That's an attacking team as I've seen in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, it was, and I suppose both teams were a bit like that, where, you know, there was a lot of players piling forward, but not, maybe not a lot doing the work the other way. And it made it very open-ended, where I suppose wingers got a lot of runs and a lot of space. And but it was, you know, it was a cracking game. I think it was a good advertisement for the league. And you know, I think in that front sort of three or four that Bows have, you know, you've as good as anything with the likes of Liam Burt and Junior to come into it still as well.
How is the boy Omisher?
He was immense tonight. We're not really sure. I suppose we're giving him the goal just before half time, but there's talk it may have come off Mark Connolly. I haven't actually seen a replay, but he had a brilliant battle with Connolly all night, and I think he's going to be, you know, if you're backing anyone for top goal scorer or anything, I think he won't be far away from it.
Tipped up in the Racing Post at 14s.
Yeah, certainly looks good value. I've seen him in pre-season as well, and I think he's I know obviously Bulls fans would be disappointed to see Georgie Kelly move on, but I think he's a cracking replacement for him. I think he'll definitely cause a lot of problems for defence this season.
Who tipped him, Johnny?
I tipped off Promise at 14th. I also tipped off Pats quite heavily to come to be the best team apart from Shamrock Rovers, and I can't get over that result tonight. But in terms of Bows and Dundalk, James, like, are you thinking like fourth place would be good for either of them?
Yeah, I think that's realistically maybe what you're looking at this moment in time. Obviously, it's very early days. You don't know what other teams are like. I haven't seen the likes of Sligo myself yet and that, but I think that's realistically what you're aiming for. I think the Dock would be happy enough. I think two points from their opening two games, difficult on paper, and you know, possibly could have won it tonight. You know, I think James Talbot was definitely the busier of the two goalkeepers, but it's a decent start.
James, can I ask you, because I'd say most people like myself are relying on the likes of Flash Score or whatever for team lineups and shape and all that. So I'm looking at Flash Score here at the moment. It has it down here as a 4-4-2 with Dickey playing up top with Hoobs. Is that the way they lined up? Like, are they lining up in a 4-4-2 at the moment? Or what, how would you describe their shape at the minute?
No, well, it was more, I suppose, probably closer to like a 4-2 or maybe a 4-3-3 sort of with Dickey started on the left, Bradley on the right, and sort of Benson was actually, you know, almost ahead of Patrick Hooban for a lot of the first half, where Hooban stopped dropping deep and sort of being a sort of focal point of the attack. So it's an interesting shape, and but it seemed to be working well at times, you know.
James, the Robbie Benson that left you was arguably the best player in the league, or thereabouts. Like, can Robbie be that player for you again?
Well, he's shaping up to be, because I would have argued that Dundalk never replaced Robbie Benson, and now they probably have with Robbie Benson. So, like, even in the first two games, his high press has been incredible. You know, he's very tidy in terms of passing, and you know, he's winning the ball high up the pitch and causing mistakes and bringing players into it, and it, you know, his on pitch management and that is superb. He's one of the most intelligent players in the league, and you know, he's been definitely for me anyway, he's been the real star. I know players like Bradley will steal the headlines because of his goals and that so far, but Benson's been the standout performer for me from the opening two games for the Dock.
All right, James, great stuff. Thanks as always for joining us. James Rogers there watching Bulls 2-2 draw against Dundalk. It is League of Ireland late night. Last Friday night, we were overrun with Shamrock Rovers supporters wanting to come on. And the pattern so far of this isn't so much angry fans, it's happy fans who want to come and celebrate their success, because we haven't heard too much from the Shamrock Rovers fans making their long trip back from Derry. Let's go to Mark McMahon. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're welcome to League of Ireland late night. What were you watching? What do you got to say for yourself?
Yeah, I was in the Daily Mail this evening as a Bows fan. And I was just listening to Johnny say there about like us going like so much attacking with like Dawson Lavoie and Jordan Flores in the midfield. But to be honest, I think we got it really wrong, in the sense of we have Dawson Lavoie, this midfielder, under 21 player or young player of the year last year. But, like, we went long so many times, like, so direct football. Most of the goal kicks were direct up to Promise, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But the game kind of just passed Dawson Lavoie completely over. You know, he couldn't get a chance to get his foot over the ball, kind of dictate play. So I think that was kind of disappointing to see, where we over-reliant on the long ball. I'm not sure if any other Bulls fans would agree with me. And I think Chris Twardek is a great addition back at the club. You know, he looked really good today, really positive, high energy. And I think he'll do great this season.
Shane, if the ball is just going over Dawson DeVoy's head constantly, there's not a huge amount he can do, I guess, unless that's just a bit of an experience. And sometimes if the game isn't going your way, you struggle to impose yourself.
Yeah, their style of play last season was very, very reliant on the wingers, I suppose, Nathan, to be honest with you. And Promise was one of those wingers last season. I suppose that's maybe half the point that your listener is making, because like they had a very, very obvious pattern of play as somebody who was in the early part of the season trying to study them and come up with patterns of play. They were all about what they were doing out wide. And like, in my opinion, you know, in my opinion, Trevor Crowley is the best coach in the country. I genuinely believe that. I think I really do believe he should walk into a role in the Irish senior team. And it was very obvious what they were doing last year. And it was working for them, and not just last year, over the last couple of years. So Promise has gone into that centre-forward role now. And now they have Stephen Mallon and Twardek in those wide roles. And I don't know if they've 100% nailed down exactly what Trevor and Keith are asking them to do at the moment. Centre midfield, I mean, like, realistically, what's DeVoy doing now? DeVoy is doing a role that what used to be Keith Buckley's role. And obviously, Keith Buckley played that role. And his skill set was very, very, very different, Nathan. I mean, Keith Buckley, you know, he's such a leader, such a battler, such a, you know, keep it simple. DeVoy has more talent, more ability, more awareness than that. But, you know, how do you develop a style of play that gets the most out of him while still doing what the Bowes management wants you to do?
Well, go on, Shane. You're a coach. How do you?
I'm not 100% sure. How do you? I mean, to me, like, I was shocked last year when Dawson started to appear as an 8 rather than a 10. I mean, to me, when I saw him as a 10, I thought he was, oh my God, what an absolutely unbelievable footballer as a 10. And okay, I can see it. You drop him in as an 8 and he's possibly even on the ball even more. But is he given as many opportunities to give those decisive passes, give those game-winning passes as much as he is at 8? And I don't know, is there the potential? Jordan was at Dundalk last year. I know we'll eventually come on to Derry and Rovers, and I'll have a bit to input there on Will Patching from my time at Dundalk. Jordan is a similar kind of headache, I suppose, is probably the best answer to use, Nathan, in that he's got so much ability, but he's also got so many things that'll, you know, make you bang your head off your forehead in terms of how he goes about doing his stuff. I'd be interested to see what Bowes fans have made of Jordan so far, because he has got so much ability, but he can frustrate so much too, to be honest, you know.
But go on, Mark, what have you made of Jordan Flores so far?
Well, he got the first goal for Bowes, I think. From my angle, it was him anyway. He was celebrating it. I actually thought he didn't play half bad this evening. I was kind of disappointed that he actually came off. But going back to Dawson DeVoy, I think first thing I noticed today about Dawson DeVoy was he was wearing the number 10 on the jersey. You know, I don't think he wore number 10 last year. And I really would like to see him. I know he previously played in the 10 role, but I really would like to see him pushed up in the 10 role. I think Ali Q started in the 10 role and played decent, but if we're going to keep playing that long distance or direct football, and we're going to play all these attacking footballers, I'd like to see Dawson DeVoy get moves up the pitch, you know, and really affect the game, because I really think the game kind of just blew over him today.
Is this his time of the year, Shane, for Dawson DeVoy? I think he was player of the year in the middle of summer last year. You know, it's cold, it's wet, it's miserable. That's not what your number 10 likes.
No, very true, Nathan, but look, I don't know, like, Ali Coote, you're not going to drop Ali Coote either. You're absolutely not. He's a super footballer. I don't know. Do you try to find a way of maybe if Jordan Flores can become defensively disciplined enough, maybe instead of 2 8s and a 10, do you go with Jordan as a 6 and then Dawson and Ali Coote as 2 8s? I mean, to me, definitely, if Jordan could be defensively disciplined enough, I think that's maybe the way you go. I think Dawson needs to be that little bit higher up the field, really, to influence things, because he's just got such a fantastic vision and ability to give that killer pass. That I understand the idea behind him playing that bit deeper, because he's just brilliant. We all love watching him, and you want him on the ball as much as possible. But I agree with your caller, like, like Bowes, I'm not saying they're direct, Jez, don't get me wrong. They're not hoofball a million miles from it, but they do, from my experience. Now, I'm talking as a fellow who hasn't seen them play this season. I need to be completely honest here. But last season, watching them last season in the role I was in last season, it seemed to be predominantly about building it down the wings and allowing the middle of the field to become a battle zone, which suited the style of player they had, because Keith is such a battler. But now they have different players in the middle of the field, so I think there's maybe a tweak needed there.
Mark, Bulls finished fifth last season. Would you take that this season?
No. I'd like to see us back in Europe, back in the European spots.
And are you feeling confident about that?
To be honest, after seeing the results this evening, not really. You know, I wasn't really expecting Sligo to get a result off Pats. And Dundalk looked fairly decent, so I'm not sure, to be honest. I won't make any predictions right now, but Monday night should be a good game. Bows and Pats and Daily Mount.
Yeah, it's that great part. Well, it's a consistent thing of the League of Ireland where we're back full round of games on Monday night as well. Mark, thanks for calling in tonight. Mark McMahon there, Bohemians fan, and tune in again and call in again over the next few weeks. We haven't really spoken about Derry against Shamrock Rovers, which was the TV game, and Derry, a lot of people's tips to push Shamrock Rovers the closest this season. It went right down to the wire. McGonagall, almost the last kick of the game. Pico Lopez made a bad mistake, and Derry win that game by 2-1. I think we discovered last week, Johnny, the problem is the roaming. The roaming charges is why the Derry fans aren't all on the line, and probably why the Shamrock Rovers fans aren't on the line either. They just can't. The 5G is a killer on that road back.
I presume they can use Wi-Fi as well for their phones. But as to the game itself, like it was, I think Dan spoke about this on Twitter. It did look very windy. But Rovers, to me, they just didn't really look comfortable in the game, particularly in the first half. Derry pressed them quite well. And, you know, Richie Towell started, Dylan Watts didn't, which I thought was a small bit surprising. And obviously Graham Burke didn't start either. And Shane spoke about their amazing bench. That's all well and good. But like the first 11 tonight that started, they didn't really look that great, I have to say. And I think the composure McGonagall showed, when you consider the magnitude of that goal, it's 5 minutes into injury time. He's pounced a mistake, but he's one-on-one with the defender. It's not easy. And like the composure to go left, bear in mind he'd missed a great chance at the end of the Dundalk game. And Rory Higgins was raving about him after that game. And if when you consider, Nathan, that like Patrick McElhinney looked rusty when he came on. So forget about him for the moment. Forget about Michael Duffy and forget about Matty Smith, because none of them are properly fit or playing at the moment. Derry are absolutely title challengers.
Let's go to Dan McDonald, because he was at the Brandywell. He's just preparing to head home. He doesn't care. He's on expenses, is Dan. He's like, here, hit me up for all that 5G. I'll stay on all night long. Dan McDonald, for the neutrals, this was a good result. And, well, one of those moments that you need as well in terms of the overall league and generating interest. A last-minute winner is always going to be a good thing. Yeah, he's gone. The 5G has let him down. I built him up so much, and Dan McDonald has failed to deliver. Shane, I know you're down at a wedding. I don't know how friendly you are with these people. Is it your wedding, if you're the best man, but you've just dumped them for the last hour. Did you see much of this?
I've absolutely dumped them, Nathan. I arrived out in the bar. I got the last 10 minutes of the first half and I got all of the second half. And I'm going to give you that famous story about when you're sitting watching League of Ireland football with a foreigner and the foreigner is talking about the high standard of football. I watched the second half in the bar here in Cavan with a foreigner from Dublin and a foreigner from Pakistan, would you believe? And we did. We had a great chat about the game as the game was going on. But I genuinely thought it was a brilliant game. I thought it was a really, really top-notch game. I thought it was absolutely end-to-end. The talking points on it, Johnny's kind of hinted on it there already. For Derry to get that result without two or three, you know, Fats only come on late in the game, Mickey Duffy is already out of the game, Matty Smith is out of the game. For Derry to get that result without some of their most important attacking players it was an outstanding result for them. It really, really was an outstanding result for them. And I thought they were very, very good on the night. McGonigal is a player. I've done a few bits and pieces for BBC Northern Ireland in terms of any of the games that are kind of south of the county. I covered them for, or south of the country. I covered them for them last year. And he always impressed me. He really, really did always impress me. And I mean, that was an outstanding goal tonight. It really, really was an absolutely outstanding goal tonight. And the other one for me is Patching.
At times, Shane, you can just see, like, this lad is different gravy.
McGonigal or Patching?
Patching.
Oh, listen, where do you start, Johnny? I mean, Patching, like, I have to be honest enough here. I don't know. Will, when Will was at Dundalk last, when I was there, I just couldn't make him out. I couldn't make him out in that he had so much ability and his nature, I suppose, and I'm absolutely not assassinating here. His nature is he's a mopey sort of individual, I suppose, is probably the best way of putting it. And because I'd be kind of, you know, in your face and a bit enthusiastic, I was like, oh, I don't know, this fella, he, you know, could he not show a bit more life about him? Because he's not show a little bit more swagger about him. But there was never, ever, ever any doubt about his ability. Absolutely no doubt about his ability. It was just, is that drive still there? Does he give... You know, is he arsed enough to actually go and make the most of his ability? And obviously, look, things went south at Dundalk when the lads didn't name him in the Europa League squad, which was utterly ridiculous, to be quite honest about it. And then, you know, he found out about that through social media rather than hearing face to face, and things kind of exploded at Dundalk in the back of that, and off he headed to Rory. Obviously, Rory knew a bit about him, and he's headed off there, and I'm delighted for him. I'm absolutely delighted for him that he's finally starting to show everybody what he's got, because the ability is absolutely unquestionable. The only question with Will is, are you arsed enough to do it week in, week out? Are you arsed enough to be a 10-month a season sort of a player? And at the moment, he's shown that he is. And I know Derry fans will say for the second half of last season, he absolutely showed that he is. And if he is, Johnny, he genuinely, if he is, he's up there with the Jack Burns and the Chris Forresters.
I have to say as well, I like this Shane Keegan after a few beers. Like,
well, I was just thinking, if we had planned this a bit better, we would have got the real inside story of Dundalk, the Shane Keegan era. But maybe we'll bring him out some night and get him ready for 10 o'clock. Let's go quickly. I think Dan McDonald has figured out how to use modern technology. Have you, Dan?
Yeah, I have, Nathan. It's an incredible thing. Yeah, I figured it out. Yeah.
Will Patching, how good was he?
Yeah, he did an outrageous nutmeg in the first half, all right. I think it was Richie Towell was the victim. It's like Forrester did one last week, and Patching sort of stepped it up a notch tonight. There's just a couple of touches. And in fairness, the one thing about the game tonight, I mean, the wind, I mean, I presume it came across on TV how influential the wind was, and to be honest, like, probably the first half wasn't really great. I thought the wind was sort of taken away from the spectacle, but both Patching and Jack Byrne, I think I made the point at some stage on Twitter that you can see why they were at Man City. You know, you have this sort of technical quality that can just elevate players above it and make the elements almost irrelevant, you know. And there was just a couple of moments like that from Patching in the game. Like, Derry are definitely trying to use him a bit deeper probably than he might have played at times. I think when he came to Dundalk first, even he was more so as the number 10, and he would have played there effectively on occasion, but I think the Derry plan is probably to utilise him in a bit of a deeper role, and it doesn't always go his way, but when he stepped into it, he has that outrageous ability. Alright,
it's a last minute wonder goal, Dan, that beat Shamrock Rovers, but three games in for them with the President's Cup. Are there concerning signs there for their three in a row?
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, I was just a daft one, really. And just looking back on the replays even after, it's just unusual, like, error from Lopez that it was even going to be a Shamrock Rovers throw. And I suppose, in a way, when it got to 1-1, you had that ominous sense. And again, I'm not sure if this always comes across on the TV, but, you know, Rovers, the subs have given them a bit of energy, and you're just thinking, yeah, Rovers are going to go on and win this because that's what they do. And to lose as they did with a bit of a sucker punch, it's a sort of a interesting to see how they actually respond to it. But I wouldn't say in isolation you'd be looking at that and thinking, oh, this is indicative of some, you know, some stagnation or something like that. But I suppose it is more a case that it's a sort of a momentum killer in a way. But in saying that, they're probably one of the teams that's delighted there's a game on Monday now, just to sort of get it out of the system quickly and they don't dwell on it. Yes, there's going to be that personality issue of players who maybe aren't, you know, are taken off, or, you know, there'll be a degree of dissatisfaction there. But the game was just going away to be one of these early season one-alls where, to be honest, I think both teams would have been reasonably happy with the draw. And then there's just a sort of a freakish moment, you know, bad mistake, brilliant finish, and you try and shape a different story around it. I'm not sure. I think Rovers are experienced enough to overcome that.
And Nathan, like, I don't know if Johnny had the same opinion or the same feeling as myself, but obviously I was watching the game in the bar here in the hotel, and my friend from Pakistan asked me with about 20 minutes left, you know, who are you shouting for? And I said, oh, nobody, you know, I'm neutral. And the next thing, I genuinely thought I was neutral. And the next thing, Derry got the goal and I jumped up off my seat.
Sorry, Shane. How could you not be up for Derry City to beat Shamrock Rovers tonight? Shamrock Rovers have won the last two leagues. They're the dominant team. Derry haven't won the league in like 25 years. They've had so much heartbreak in that city. How would you not be up for Derry City tonight? And even your man from Pakistan would appreciate this.
Yeah, but when you sit down, like, you're not... You know, I'm not a supporter of either team, Johnny. You know, I'm sitting down, I'm not a supporter of either team. But I'm admitting, yeah, you're right. Essentially, you're right. Like, when the goal...
Well, if Rovers win tonight, they're 5 points clear of Derry.
Exactly.
And that's the point. Yeah. And that's the point. When I jumped up off the seat and your man looked at me and he says, oh, you don't look too neutral now. Like, that was the point. I then tried to explain to him, well, I just think this is a great result for the interest in the league and how people are going to take the league. I think this is a brilliant result.
All right, Dan, safe home. Long trek ahead of you.
Yeah, listen, looking forward to listening to a slightly more progressively drunk Shane.
Well, I'm tempted to just keep...
The guy from Pakistan would be on there.
Have you not noticed that Shane, after a couple of drinks, steadily morphs into Johnny Ward because he starts telling you about chance meetings with people from Pakistan? Like, that's a Johnny Ward night out, Shane. So
Dan, that is enough for me to actually contemplate giving up alcohol altogether.
My biggest concern is for the future of this show, where I thought that Shane was the guy I could rely on, that I knew at 10 o'clock he'd be there and he would be somewhat alive to the world, whereas Johnny, as we know, can pop up absolutely anywhere. But fair play to Johnny, you've been with us. It is League of Ireland late night, as you can kind of guess, sort of anything can happen at 10 o'clock on a Friday night. We're pretty much done, but let's quickly go to a couple of callers who've been hanging on for a while. DSC McCall is there.
Get the Derry boy on the line. Get the Derry boy on the line.
He's got the Derry jersey on his profile. What you got to say for yourself?
Well, I mean, watching in the Brandywell tonight was just unbelievable. Like, atmosphere was fantastic. The team themselves played so well, like, throughout, like, all the different positions. Like, you're talking about Jamie McGonigal there. You're talking about Patchin, talking about McElhaney. Cameron Dunigan was outstanding. Like, he is such a fantastic player. He can play in many different positions. So, I mean, as a Derry fan, I think we're just so excited with the squad we have and the fact that, like, Michael Duffy hasn't even set foot in the pitch yet, you know. From that perspective, you know, it, like, tonight was a real marker from Derry. It's the first time we beat Shamrock Rovers in 5 years. And, I mean, two draws in the last 10 games against them. Last year, we were 2-0 up. We thought, here we go, we're going to do it. And then they just come back and pummeled us in the second half. So atmosphere was amazing. I think Derry are definite title challengers this season, and delighted to see it. Absolutely delighted.
We don't want to spend an hour on TV coverage, but watching last week at Talca Park and then tonight at the Brandywell, the atmosphere, the buzz, the quality of football at times, as Dan was saying, conditions were very difficult. Like, there's an awful lot to be excited about. And as I touched on with Dan, if Rovers were the ones who nicked a late winner, maybe that's why Pico Lopez was so desperate to keep the ball in play, to try and nick one late on. Suddenly there's a 5-point gap and everybody's a little bit deflated. But now Derry are top of the league after two games. And as you say, they've got a billionaire owner. They've got Michael Duffy to come in. Clearly you're coming out of the Brandywell with a sense that this could be a season where something special happens.
Well, I think for all of us, we were all going into the season thinking, sort of whispering, can we do it? Can we do it? And not wanting to, you know, be disappointed if we didn't. But I mean, even tonight at the end of the game, like the way that the fans celebrated, the way the players celebrated, Rory Higgins was fist pumping the crowd, you know, that just, it's just elevating everything in terms of, you know, the Brandywell sold out tonight. You know, when the Brandywell's full, teams come there, like, you know, Lopez was under pressure. He tried to put a back pass in, you know, that was just the pressure of the occasion, the crowd, everything. You know, it was amazing. And I mean, in terms of Jamie McGonigal, I think he's the best striker in the league. And in terms of confidence, I mean, the young fella is so confident. He's already said he's going to score 20 goals this season. He's got two. He's already set up one. He was brought down for the penalty. I mean, outstanding. I mean, I just can't wait to see how the rest of the season is going to go. I mean, next week, Shelburne, Tulka Park, apparently they've given Derry 800 tickets. So, I mean, you know, atmosphere-wise, it's going to be amazing down there next week as well. So, but all in all, yeah, I mean, the smiles coming out of Brandywell last night, or tonight, everyone smiling at each other, and yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely fantastic. It was great.
Rough estimate, how many men's foreheads did you kiss when Jamie McGonigal smashed that into the back of the net?
Well, given the COVID restrictions, there wasn't much of that going on, but there was plenty of hugging and high-fiving and whatever. But no, as I say, just great to be back. And Johnny touched on it there. I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened to the club in the last few years, you know, with Mark Farren and Ryan McBride and stuff like that. So, I mean, as a city, you know, we've come through a lot. And just to see people celebrating like that tonight, and just, you know, something good happening, it was fantastic. And as I say, like Rory Higgins himself, you know, he's from Derry, he loves the club, you know, he's got a plan, and he keeps talking about the plan being, you know, a three-year plan. But I mean, after watching that tonight, you know, we're definitely going to challenge, like we will challenge this year, and it's great.
Listen, ease up on Rory a little bit there. But Nathan, this is the educated listener's opinion. I'm loving this. Cammy Dunnigan will be named in the PFAI Team of the Year at the end of the season, without a doubt. Isn't he outstanding, isn't he? Have you ever seen a player so two-footed, like right back, left back? If you go to a back three, he can play right in the back three, left of the back three. He is such an underrated footballer, I think. And I know they were beaten on the night, right? But Shamrock Rovers, Gary O'Neill, like, to me, if you ask me to name the two most underrated players in the League of Ireland at the moment, I would say Cammy Dunnigan and Gary O'Neill. But Cammy is something else, isn't he?
And Shane, the other thing about him is he's so calm, like everything's done calmly. You know, he could have two players coming to him and he just passes the ball inside and runs into space. I mean, he's absolutely outstanding. He reminds me of, this will show my age now, how long I'm watching Derry City, but Kevin Brady played left back for Derry City in the treble season. And he's just exactly like him. He's just so sure on the ball, and he just gives everybody around him so much confidence. And as I say, when I heard that Ronan Finn got man of the match tonight, I mean, I nearly fell off my chair when I seen that. Like, Cameron Dunnigan, even Brandon Kavanagh played better than Ronan Finn. I don't know who you gave that man of the match tonight. It was shocking.
All right, I think we're pretty much on to our last caller. We'll be talking Derry City a whole lot more, I'm sure, between now and the end of the season. But let's finish sort of where we started, because the Sligo Mafia are very happy with life tonight. James Lawler is with us. James, you had to wait for your first league match of the season, but it was worth the wait with that win over Pats. If you want to unmute yourself there, James. No. Is it happening, James? Can you hear us? Unfortunately not. I gave it the big build-up and everything, Shane. What we'll just have to do then, Shane, with the remaining couple of minutes, is talk about the Shane Keegan era at Dundalk. Should we get Filippo on now, or will we leave it till another week?
No. Actually, Filippo would probably be very entertaining for my quite an engaging character, but no, listen, again...
Are you at the bar? No. You were loud and clear a minute ago, but it feels like you're at the bar.
Guy from Pakistan took his phone, I think.
I hope Shane gets enough slagging now, because I was on the bus, but at least I was sober. Yeah, I was sober.
Well, last week went so well for you.
I'm sober, right? Are you sober now?
Making a lot of big calls now. Trevor Crawley, Cameron Dunnigan, so on and so forth. I'll bring this up with you tomorrow.
Well, Johnny, my latest big call, the reason I was hoping the Sligo caller would be on, is Colm Horgan with a goal, Johnny.
Great goal, apparently.
How obscure is Colm Horgan popping up with a goal? I would absolutely bow to that man. He was my captain at Galway. I know we hadn't a fantastic season that year, but Jesus, he is He is some bit of stuff now. He is absolutely outstanding. I saw the goal now. The pass is probably even more impressive than the finish, but absolutely delighted for Colm Horgan. I mean, when you talk about people made of the right stuff, he is absolutely top of the tree.
Will we give James Lawler one more go?
Go on.
One more go.
On.
James, are you there? Are you there, James?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Man, it's a beautiful thing. You're not alongside Shane at the bar, are you?
No, I'm not. I'll tell you this, right? I'm actually getting pulled over by the guards. I pulled in to speak to you, and I got pulled over. The blue lights came on, and he jumped out of the car, and I was like, this is my one chance I have speaking to Shane Keegan on the beer, and he's after pulling me over.
Yo, tell me you were on the hands free.
Oh, of course I was. Of course I was. Like, oh no.
And who did the guard support? Did you know Johnny Ward?
I told him I was a Sligo Rovers fan, and he goes, oh shit, I'll let you be. Excuse the language, you know.
You sound like you've had a good night, James.
I have had a great night. It was a night I wasn't expecting. I'll be straight up with you. With the people who Pats have brought in this year to Inchicore, I didn't expect Rovers in, you know, a few of the results pre-season, not that many wins, you know, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I'm absolutely delighted for Rovers fans coming back tonight. I'm ecstatic. The first half, I'm telling you, Rovers just pressed. And the one thing I did, I can't get my head around is how Shelburne didn't score last week. I'm telling you, the back line of Pats, in my opinion, can be well got at by most teams in the league. It was the first proper start for Aidan Keane tonight, who played his absolute socks off as a number nine in front of, it was Redmond and Abankwa, I think is his name, who, to be fair, weren't at the races tonight, but Sligo with the press in the first half just completely overrun Pats. Owen Doyle wasn't getting the service. Niall Moran was keeping Forrester in his pocket. I was absolutely delighted. I didn't expect Rovers, you know, a few of the signings that have come in, you know, we haven't seen Hamilton yet. We haven't seen the full potential of Max Matta yet either. And, you know, we're missing Lewis Banks as well at the minute. So I'm ecstatic. Derry had a great win tonight, 95th minute, and I couldn't believe it. And hopefully now it's a student week up in Sligo now on Monday, but I'm sacrificing my Monday. I'm going up to the Brandywell Monday night.
Good man, you've got a good week ahead. Brandywell Monday night, Dundalk coming to town next Saturday. Third last season, we've touched on it, Sligo, not an awful lot said about them pre-season. Obviously lost a couple of really important players. I think our first caller tonight was saying that maybe Sligo can finish top two. You should go along.
Top three. I think with the backing Derry have, and you know, like you know, your previous Derry caller said even like Fats tonight wasn't when he came on didn't do much, but I'm telling you, a full that Matty Smith as well not playing, Duffy not playing. I think it'll be a good battle between Shams and Derry. If Pats want to reply, they're going to need to go back to the drawing board. I can tell you that much, lads, from being at Richmond tonight. And I know that might sound a bit biased from a Sligo Rovers man, but look, keep the lads injury free. Nando, Janker, again, beside Gary Buckley tonight as well, he can easily get running at that centre half position alongside Gary Buckley, who again, lads, I'm telling you, the Pats man who went to Serie A for 800,000. If somebody like that's worth 800,000, lads, how much is Gary Buckley worth? 1.2 million? More than that. I'm telling you, lads. He's more important than that, lads. I'm telling you.
Who should he be signing for? Who should he be signing for? If a Banquet can play for you today,
I tell you, there's a few Premier League teams that could put him in there. I'm telling you, we're not people, including myself, and I'll hold my hand up to that, did write us off at the start of the year. You know, with a few of the signings, especially trying to sign somebody to fit the shoes of Johnny Kenny and John Mahon.
James, seriously though, James, like as you've said, the two boys are gone there, but you're after nailing it there with Niall Moran coming through there as well. He's such a great footballer, like Conor O'Grady and everybody else involved in the underage setup at Sligo. Like, you're producing some footballers, aren't you? Like, they deserve a serious pat on the back. Like, I know Johnny had him on the podcast there with Dan during the week. Like, they're producing some footballers over there.
it's a credit, and being an IT Sligo student myself, crediting the football lads, Killian Heaney, who's coming through as well. There's Peter Maguire there as well, who's a centre half, who's coming through, who was on the bench tonight for Rovers, who's a current college student at IT Sligo. These are people to look out for. We have created people in the academy who have gone on, Johnny and John Mahan being players like that, and we will do more, especially with the likes of Conor O'Grady and all the boys in head of academy.
James, get yourself home safely. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much, lads.
James Lawler there. There's a car full of them. I'm not surprised they were pulled over. Not surprised at all. Shane Keegan, thank you for taking the time out.
No problem, Nathan.
Just 90 minutes gone from the wedding. Johnny Ward is done. He's been too sensible for too long. The pubs are shutting in 4 minutes. He's got to get the hell out of Dodge. So Johnny, I think, has already left us. But that is another League of Ireland late night in the bag every Friday night, 10 o'clock here on Twitter Spaces. And also, you can listen to the podcast if you missed any of this, if you joined late.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.